going to do a little bit of meddling today. My subject deals with mass media and how that mass media provides a grave threat for Christians. Brother Tim read for you our text of our lesson from Colossians 3 about being reminded once again to set our affection on the things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. The media that surrounds us in our society is sending us a message every day. And that message is, be concerned about what's happening here on this earth. And that comes to us in a lot of different ways. It comes through the internet, it comes through radio, television, newspapers, magazines, all sorts of information gathering and disseminating organizations, and it seems to flood our society at times. Maybe the greatest teacher in our present generation, at least mine, has been the television. I remember in fifth grade we watched the 30 minutes a day on a certain one or two days a week of Science Channel where experiments were performed, and We took notes that the teacher designed for us to take to learn about those types of experiments in the study of science. And it was good. Television teaches history. It allows you to be present while history is being made. Many of us were old enough, we remember, we watched on television the men making the first step on the moon. We've seen presidential inaugurations. We've seen, here lately, a lot of crimes being committed. But we've seen historically significant things as well. We've participated in that by watching it live on television. It's very obvious to us that television is a great entertainer for a lot of people. Without leaving the home, families can be greatly entertained by many of its programs. They can possess a ticket to a sporting event that has been sold out at a stadium. They can watch it. They can see replay for the great plays in a sporting event. They can hear discussions and commentaries on all sorts of subjects. It's open. A world of education is open to children and adults. The beauty of the world, the activity of the world, travel in the world, and with the flip of a switch, you can be in a country on the other side of the world, seeing the sights there. All in all, television has been a very effective visual aid and a very effective teaching tool. It is unfortunate that many who have realized the great power of television have used it in an inappropriate way, have used it unrighteously. Television has made a tremendous impact on our society. It's estimated that somewhere around 98% of the homes in America have at least one television set. In the average home, a television is on more than 40 hours a week. In 2020, Americans invested over $23 billion in new television sets. Over 40 billion units. When the average child graduates from high school, he would have been in school somewhere close to approaching 11,000 hours. But he will have watched TV for more than 20,000 hours. And it's also estimated that between the ages of 2 and 60, that a person will view television for approximately 3,000 days, or 9 full years of life. The influence of television on Americans and the home has been dramatically brought forth in all sorts of studies conducted by top educational people and psychologists who concluded that many children feel more comfortable with the television set than they do their own parents. That's somewhat shocking to people who love the family and love God. As Christians, we're instructed in Romans 12 and verse 2 to not conform ourselves to the world, but be transformed. And we're transformed how? By the renewing of our mind, the Holy Spirit says, through the pen of Paul in Romans 12 and verse 2, that you may prove what is the will of God, that it is something that is good and acceptable and perfect. Through television, people are encouraged and shown how to copy the ways and the customs and the languages prevailing around us in the world. The renewing of the mind of Christians begins with spending time in the Bible and not with the television set. When people refuse to have God in their knowledge, darkness takes over their hearts. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. And such a condition leads to disastrous consequences. Christians will drift into life in the world if the Bible is not made the guide for all areas of life. If we would look at our own lives and compare, how much time do I spend watching television versus how much time do I spend reading God's Word, we might actually be surprised if we approach that subject objectively and are truthful with the results. We're not to conform to the ways that we once did when we were ignorant of the Bible, Peter wrote about in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 and 15. During my days in high school, the formal written complaints were overwhelming that were sent to the Federal Communication Commission as parents objected to the transformation of broadcast content. What were they objecting to? They were objecting to violence and sexually oriented programs that were beginning to invade television. During those years, conservative advisors and social behavior warned that a steady stream of violence on television may have an adverse effect upon our society. But their warnings fell on deaf ears. They warned that these things seen on television would have an adverse effect, particularly on children, because they were in the formative years. Social scientists estimated that by the age of 14, the average child has witnessed 11,000 murders on television, not to mention thousands of fights, robberies, muggings, rapes, and kidnappings. At that time, the president of the nation's largest advertising agency said this. Number one, if the children are constantly given models of violent behavior, their behavior will probably turn violent. Number two, incidents have been reported in which unstable adults have modeled crimes that they have watched on television. Number three, excessive doses of violence tend to desensitize even stable adults. They become indifferent to the suffering of others. Those were quite candid comments from the head of the nation's largest advertising agency. Very objective statements and true statements. Those kind of things are covered over today. Those kind of things are hidden from people today so that they will not realize a different perspective. The majority of television programs today trample underfoot the principles of God's Word concerning the purity of living. That's no surprise to any of us. Initially in broadcast history, lifestyles in opposition to God were only suggested. It's different today. Today they are blatantly and graphically displayed and encouraged. The sin of adultery is, in current broadcasting, is a normal way of life. Adultery is glorified by programs that contain people who are bed-hopping and mate-swapping, programs viewed by millions of Americans each day. The picture of the family life has been perverted for so long that it's not surprising when new converts come into the church and sit down with the elders to have a discussion about who they are and where they're from and what they've been through, so that the elders can assist them, that they bring with them great deals of stressful baggage that they've been carrying around in their lives for such a long period of time. Who would you say is using the most insidious influence on television to alter the thinking and behavior of people who spend days in front of it? Who would you think would be behind that? What has emboldened the homosexuals to come out of hiding in the first place, and then secondly to parade in public, and then thirdly to become activist agents with the mission of transforming America into a nation of darkness and vile abominations, even with children? You see where this has gone? The problem is not in addressing the subject of homosexuality. The problem is treating it as a normal way of life. And it is not a normal way of life. It is a sin in the eyes of God, Romans 1. 26 and 27, and a host of other passages. We're concerned about the hundreds of thousands of regularly repeated messages. The sheer weight of this material piles up into heavy piles over months and years of daily consumption. What effect does that have on people? It is the cumulative impact of this material which has played a major role in shaping the values of the society where we're trying to raise our children today. And it's not good, is it? We all realize that, and we all see that. Media is teaching us to set our affection on the things of this earth and take them away from the things of heaven. And who's behind it? Satan boldly works through our schools and universities and governments and uses the media as an avenue to accomplish his evil purposes. And the most powerful tool of the media is the television. We're surrounded by strategic warfare that's calculated to devour Christians, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. But we are not ignorant of his devices, and we must not be ignorant of his devices. Some of the most durable and important effects of watching television come in the form of subtle, incremental, cumulative changes in the way we view the world. We wouldn't just walk up to a cliff and look down in the deep valley below and think to ourselves, hey, I believe I'll jump off there and jump. But would we incrementally, bit by bit, be led down into a cavern of darkness? Yes, because that's how Satan works effectively to destroy our souls. A little bit at a time. Media is perfect for accomplishing his purposes. Hollywood, it's not just movies and television programs. Hollywood has moved its tentacles into the business world. It has taken over businesses. It has directed organizations that are very rich and very powerful in our society. We're not to set our affection on things on the earth, but on things that are heavenly. Hollywood's influence is one of materialism, existentialism, which is human existence is unexplainable, and man has freedom of choice. It promotes individualism, hedonism, the love of pleasure, and secularism. It is a mindset that views sin in the lives of people as just normal everyday occurrence. It's normal. But righteousness is strange. And anyone who quotes the Bible must be mentally disturbed. That's the message you get from Hollywood. And so, let us think this morning, and thank you for thinking with me, about some of the grave threats to Christians through media, and not only television, but all media. And the first one that comes to mind to any thinking person is this: violence. Violence. We live in a violent society. Violence is not compatible with Christianity. In Romans 12 and verse 18, for one passage on the subject, Paul wrote and said, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Violence is opposed to Christianity. And the Christian does not need to be desensitized or become indifferent to the needs of people. Concern over television crime and violence is not a new thing. Let me tell you about something from a long time ago. In 1961, the first Italian senator that became a part of our government, Senator John Pastore of Rhode Island, headed a committee to address television violence. This is 1961, when people were concerned enough about this to involve politicians. In 1968, 5 days after the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, President Johnson established the National Commission on the Causes and Prevention of Violence. I don't know if anyone here remembers that. He asked the committee to address this question. Think about it. Are the seeds of violence nurtured through the public's airwaves, the screens of neighborhood theaters, the news media, and other forms of communication from our leaders that reach the family and reach the young? Somebody was concerned about the effects of media violence on society. In its concluding report, the commission says it is reasonable, to conclude that a constant diet of violent behavior on television has an adverse effect on human character and attitudes. You and I would say that guy has a firm grasp on the obvious, right? Violence on television encourages violent forms of behavior and fosters moral and social values about violence that are unacceptable in a civilized society. And so what have we become? Are we still a civilized society? You know, years and years ago, it was not strange at all for a student in high school to board a school bus with a rifle in a case, take it to school, and participate in the gun club target shooting after school, put his rifle back in the case, ride the school bus back home. Nobody ever thought a thing in the world about that. You know what would happen if somebody tried to board a school bus today with a rifle and a case? He's got a gun! And everybody would go crazy, and those who were packing would pull out a pistol, and probably the student would be dead. Why? Look what's happened in our schools with the violence. People walk in with a weapon and take out innocent people. Now, where did that come from? What started all of that? What put those ideas in the minds of those people? Something did. What was it? What contributed to it? Who's behind it? One result of Hollywood's overwhelming accumulation of violent imagery is that of desensitization. What do we mean by that? We mean it's increasingly difficult to frighten people these days, to frighten them or disgust them if they're part of an audience. God-given barriers are removed. The end result of entertainment, frequent and repeated exposure to sexual intimacy is that God-given inhibitions to inappropriate sexual expressions are dismantled from the lives of people, piece by piece. And as a result, many have bought into the lie that being a virgin until you are married is impossible. And it's something that you really don't want to do. In the Los Angeles riots of 1992, according to press accounts, many looters got the idea to participate in the looting by watching the looters on the television set. As the images communicated the idea of looting as common, associated with public rights, even justified behavior, with a very small likelihood that there would be any interference whatsoever by anyone in law enforcement. We've seen that lately on our own television sets if we've watched any of the news. And we've become desensitized to it. What about attitudes towards sexual activity? The National Institute of Mental Health reported entertainment television has become an important sex educator. That's certainly obvious to us, isn't it? In challenging the conservative taboos of any nation, a steady diet of freedom of sexual expression breaks down the moral fiber of conservative, God-fearing people. Hollywood has long promoted the joys of fornication, haven't they? The message is that we can sleep around and there will be no harmful effects. You don't ever see anyone plagued by any diseases as a result of that. Extramarital sex is a normal form of recreation without moral or emotional consequences. Certainly no remorse shown by anyone who participates. And consider Hollywood's treatment of homosexuality. Primetime's favorite innocent victim is the misunderstood, harassed homosexual. Oh, the poor people, don't you feel so sorry for them? Everyone treats them badly. That's the message. And not only that, the family is under attack. There's this brazen assault on the traditional biblical family as the media promotes extramarital sexual activity, homosexual activity, and the denunciation of parental authority, especially that of the father. Some of you are old enough to remember hearing about, maybe I should say, a television program, maybe through reruns, Father Knows Best. It was a popular radio show that turned into a TV show that ran from 1954 to 1960. It featured a wise family man and his common sense wife and their children. Today, that program is hopelessly antiquated. The prevailing media thinking not that Father Knows Best about anything. When a father is presented, he's some dumb klutz that just happens to be in the family to provide the groceries for everybody. And he's not even smart enough to know how to use a hammer and a screwdriver. That's the way media presents the father today. Who knows best? Father? No. Children know best, is the message we get from the media today. A show entitled Father Knows Nothing would better describe the concepts that the media is trying to get across to our society, Today's programming makes a significant contribution to the ongoing anti-family messages, promoting promiscuity, maligning marriage, encouraging out-of-wedlock children, and undermining parental authority where children sass their parents. Can I use that word? Children sass their parents. They speak disrespectfully to their parents. In the South, that used to be sassing your parents. All negatively affecting the building of solid marriages and the raising of respectful children, as the Bible directs. Whenever people try to imitate the world and get their standards from Hollywood, instead of heaven, there will always be trouble in the home. Always. Do we have to say anything about Hollywood's passion for profanity? Hollywood has an infatuation with foul language. You just can't get away from it, can you? He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil, Proverbs 17 and verse 20. And what about the cheapening of human life? We're living in what some refer to as a culture of death. Many Americans have been convinced that some lives are worth living and others are worth extinguishing because they're not good enough for some reason or another. The result is that abortions have gone crazy in the numbers. Killing of children. What? You mean that's happening in our country? Killing of children. Euthanasia. Euthanasia in our country? And assisted suicide. These are common in our society, whether we know about them or not. Would you be surprised to learn that some hospitals in America are mutilating and sterilizing children? They are. In our own country. What will overcome this? God has the solution. What is the transforming of the mind? Get away from the media that poisons the way that you think and what you think about. Brethren, by the mercies of God, yes, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, but also do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, that it is good and acceptable and perfect. Not conform, but transform. Today's media is not a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never has been. Never will be. The truth. The world has never promoted truth. Accordingly, we are reminded, do not be conformed to the world. Do not love the world. Do not be a friend of the world. That's actually enmity toward God. Because young people need a moral code to live by. Daily growth in the Word of God will allow you to build increasing stability in your life. Otherwise, a lack of a clear moral standard leads to confusion about things in life. Confusion about the world. And that leads to sinful involvement with the things of this world. And sin destroys the beauty of life, only to replace it with the odor of death. Spiritual death. We must learn to control media use. One answer is to throw the television out the back door. Many have done this. What is certain is that the television set must be controlled, just as the home must be carefully guarded. Television is a way that the enemy can make his way into the lives of people who live in our homes today. And Christians live in homes, don't they? We must be very selective about the things that we watch. Other items within the home which must be seen as potential traps are magazines and catalogs and newspapers. And the internet has become saturated with enemy traps. It is important to ruthlessly root out anything in the home that the devil might use to captivate our souls at moments of weakness. Sacrificial decisions such as these is what Jesus is referring to when he spoke of tearing out eyeballs and cutting off hands in Matthew 5:29-30. Another thing that we can do that will help is teach biblical love. We won't understand this concept from Hollywood. We must go to the Holy Scriptures to find out what real love truly is. Passages like 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And there's a crying need for older sisters in the body of Christ to teach the younger women character traits of Titus chapter 2. There's a need for older men to teach our younger men the same character traits and wisdom and leadership from Titus chapter 2. In our teaching, we not only need to condemn what is wrong, but also to stress what is honorable and what is pleasing to God. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor by all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. We also need to get back to the divine plan regarding primary sources of information and influence in our lives and in the lives of our children. And that, of course, depends upon the home. Children are to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It's an unsafe course for us to habitually say to our children, you're sort of getting in my way and I'm busy doing this. Why don't you go watch television for a while? That is a bad move. That is not going to lead to spiritual success with our children. In the world, the entertainment culture has become the chief babysitter by default. That has to stop if we are serious about winning this spiritual warfare that we have with Satan in our society. If we're to have more Timothys, we need more people like Lois and like Eunice who impart the wisdom of the Holy Scriptures to their children and grandchildren, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. If we want to have a good home in the midst of a wicked world, we need to invest ourselves sacrificially in the Lord's judgments. The theme of the book of Leviticus is holiness to the Lord. God's people do not follow the practices of Egypt or Canaan. Leviticus 18 verses 3 and 4. They keep His judgments. And His judgments and His statutes and His commands must be taught from childhood. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. As a result, we empower our children to distinguish between things that are right and things that are wrong, between the holy and the profane, between the unclean and the clean, Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. And accordingly, they will make the right choices. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Media is telling us we don't have to do that. God is telling us we do. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Media is trying to take those words out of our hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Talk about what? The judgments, the wisdom, the statutes, the commandments of the Lord God of heaven, that's what. You won't find that on television set, will you? You won't find it on the media of our day. We must realize that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. An intense hatred of what is evil is essentially linked with the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You see that in that passage? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. Psalm 119, verse 104, from your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. In verse 128 of the same chapter, Psalm 119, therefore I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. You see, that message is repeated many times in God's book. With the same intensity with which you love the good, you must also hate the evil. If one does not hate that which is evil, the underlying problem is that he truly, really doesn't love what is good. May our prayer be, Lord, teach me to love what you love and hate what you hate. Generally, the world has enticed Christians to become quite comfortable with the things that the Lord calls sinful, wrong, and unrighteous. Let love be without hypocrisy in Romans 12 and verse 9. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to what is good. You won't hear that message on any media source, will you? We need people who think sensibly. There must be the ability to discern between things that are good and things that are bad. Things that are right and things that are evil. Christians don't laugh or enjoy it when their values are attacked and mocked by people. Christians don't laugh when their lifestyle is undermined by popular culture. We don't take that as a pleasant thing. We don't enjoy that. Christians must understand that Hollywood's attack on our hearts is slow and gradual, incremental, bit by bit, piece by piece. A clear sense of right and wrong starts with behavior that is righteous, so that the Word of God will not be dishonored in Titus chapter 2. The basic plot of most programming celebrates one or more of the sinful works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Did you ever notice that? And remember that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Titus 2, 11 and 12, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, teaching or instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present world. So that's the mindset we need. And finally, we need to mention this. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Just as Job did. Guard what comes before our eyes. Jesus taught this principle in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, in verse 28, David learned by experience the importance of resolving to set no worthless thing before my eyes. Notice Psalm 101 and verse 3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. You see that? It shall not fasten its grip on me. There are a lot of people that will be lost because the world has fastened its grip on them and they can't shake it loose. And how did it come to them? Modern media. More than life. In conclusion, we're responsible for determining what we allow to penetrate our hearts. We're responsible. The world and its evil influences constantly seek to find a way into our hearts and minds. The world wants to get into our thinking. Music, TV programs, advertisements, newspapers, magazines, and movies. All of these in the world have one particular aim in mind. To change the way we think. I as growing up, never dreamed that I would ever see a doctor who would agree to mutilating children. I never thought I would see that in this country, but it's here. The things we program into our hearts are processed, and they create an output behavior. Cleaning up our minds begins by filtering out the things that can lead us to do wrong and therefore displease God. Proverbs 1:15-16, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Ominous words to contemplate on a day like today, isn't it? Thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate your kind attention. These things are very serious. If you think I'm wrong, I can be corrected. But I think many of you realize, and some of us may be a little uncomfortable at thinking about the things that come to us through the avenue of the media. Some of us may be a little more hooked to it than we would like to imagine ourselves as being. Let us think carefully and realize the dangers and the threats for the Christian. May God bless you today is my prayer. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we ask of you no other requirement than those laid down by the Lord Jesus Christ in order for you to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. To hear the gospel, believe it, and obey it is how we could sum that up. Being baptized in Christ, raised from the water pool of baptism to walking in new life as a Christian. New direction, new law to live by, new Lord to serve, new blessings to receive. We can assist you with that. We'd be delighted to do it. If you come down to the front and let me know about it. All together, we stand and encourage you in singing the invitation song. May God bless you as our earnest prayer today.